It's the Morning News Express. Now, I know this guy will talk to me. His name is Brad Young. He is the Board of Education president. Spent a long time yesterday in the in meetings yesterday. And, Mr. Young, appreciate you spending some time with us. Thank you.
You're quite welcome, Bob.
First of all, let's talk about the big news of the day, the Great Frederick Fair. And now we don't have to worry about Fair Day. Can we we'll take that day back if we go back to school?
We absolutely will, and it'll save me from having to lose 5 pounds.
Right?
You guys, that week.
Yeah, a couple of different things, obviously. Frederick County talking about how they might reopen schools, if they reopen schools, and going forward with what's going on in our country. You know, in a nutshell, kind of give me some of the plans that were put out there that you kind of look at and you go, okay, this one sounds good, but this one, you know, I'm going to have further study on.
Well, there's three kind of obvious plans. Green, which is everybody's back in school and we're having all the students and teachers in school. Red is we're having everybody at home still on distance learning. And yellow is kind of a hybrid model where some are in school and some are at home. And that's kind of, you know, what staff proposed to us because, again, we don't feel that there's a way that we can bring all the kids back in and comply with social distance rules and be able to keep our kids and our staff safe. But on the other hand, we think it's important to try and get kids back in school. Now, what I'll say is in floating that plan, the feedback that we've gotten is probably, if I had to guess percentages, 40% like green, everybody back, 40% like red, stay everybody at home, and maybe 20% are okay, we're okay with the hybrid. The biggest issues with the hybrid are, number one, it still doesn't totally protect staff because staff are still being exposed to all the students that are there. But number two, for our parents, is the daycare situation of, you know, if our hope and expectation is that the majority of our parents are back at work in the fall, then what do they do for the 3 days per week that their students are not in school? And so under that model, they'd go to school 2 days. There'd be a day off Wednesday where we could clean the schools between the second cohort of students coming back in on Thursday and Friday, and the ones that went on Monday and Tuesday would be doing distance learning on Thursday and Friday. And so, again, a lot of talk about how we can guarantee that our students and staff would be safe if we brought them back in, from things like ventilation, from how do you move kids around the building, to do kids have to wear masks while they're sitting in class, and all those things are tough issues, and there's not going to be any perfect answer, and there's not going to be any answer that's going to please everyone, because again, I know the numbers are split between those that feel comfortable sending their kids back in and those that don't.
All right, so let me throw another scenario out to you there. Just I'm sure somebody did it as well. I'm not positive, but what about utilizing, say, like, you know, older kids, maybe a little bit better at social distancing and hygiene as opposed to elementary school kids. So you keep elementary school kids home, high school kids and middle kids go to schools, but you utilize, like, say you send the middle school kids to the elementary schools and the high schools are divided up between a high school and a middle school.
Right. I mean, hybrids of that plan and many others were discussed, and there's things that are good about them and there's things that don't work. The fact is that we have kids at all levels, from elementary through high school, that have issues, either learning disabilities, physical disabilities, or language issues that need to be directly with someone. So again, no matter what plan that you would develop, that would have that kind of scenario you just talked about, mm-hmm. there would be people that would suffer. And so we saw in the spring that there were quite a few students that did just fine or did extremely well. There were some that got by, and there were some that were left behind.
Yeah.
And so this summer we have to assess and try and figure out a way to go back and give remediation to those that were left behind, either because they didn't have the resources to be able to do what they needed to do, or they didn't have the ability because they need to be in person with somebody to provide that additional help. So, again, there are all kinds of potential models that come up that we would look at. Right now, we're taking back feedback from parents. We're going to send a survey out to all staff. Again, we have the issue that many of our staff are folks that have conditions, and even if our students can be back, do we have enough staff that are willing to put themselves in front of that many potential kids that could be carrying the virus? And so those are other issues that we have. It's not just are the students going to come back, but will we have enough staff that are able to come in and expose themselves to that danger.
Let me ask, totally off topic here, have we accounted for all the Chromebooks that were handed out at the, you know, when this all started?
We did. We actually, again, as in most cases, we did far better than most counties. We had more issues with Chromebooks being broken and not being returned. So overall, we did pretty good. I want to say at one point we had almost $9 million of Chromebooks out on the street. The only ones that we required to bring their Chromebook back this year were those that graduated and those that don't anticipate on coming back into the school system in the fall. So other than that, we kind of guessed that we probably would have to have some kind of hybrid model in the fall, and so we didn't want to collect them all in the summer and then have to put them all back out in the fall. So if you were a returning FCPS student, we allowed them to go ahead and keep their Chromebook.
Okay. Now, the other topic that was discussed was student resource officers, which I think are obviously, in my opinion, and I don't have kids in school, but I think they're a valuable resource. It seems like there's, you know, the whole defund me police and trying to get rid of SRO officers. I know they did it in Washington, D.C. Your opinion, I'm just asking your opinion on
my
SROs.
Personal opinion is they're outstanding. I know every single SRO in our school system, and I've had interactions with them. I've been on the board for 10 years, and I will tell you that they play a very positive role in our schools in getting to know the students. And part of the role is not only getting to know so students get a more comfortable level with our police, but it also gives them the ability of knowing what's going on in that building and hopefully being preemptive in the event that something bad is going to happen. A couple years ago, we did have a very potentially bad situation about to happen at Catoctin. Mm-hmm. And between the parents and the SRO and the school, it was averted. And again, that I won't say was solely because of the SRO, but the SRO played a part in getting that family and the community willing to come forth and make sure that it was handled properly. We've had situations. We had a student or a teacher that was assaulted at one of our high schools, and the SRO was right in the building, was able to get there very quickly. And so I've just here in Walkersville, our SRO at Walkersville is just out of this world. She does an outstanding job. She knows the kids. If you go to many of the sporting events, you'll see her there. And so, again, that's what we want SROs that embed themselves in the school system, get to know the kids, gain the kids' trust, the staff's trust, and that helps make it a better situation and a safer situation for not only our students but for our staff and the community.
Yeah, real quick, I got a question from a caller who texted it to me. He said the head of transportation just retired. Was it because they retired or is they just thinking about, you know, the possibilities of trying to go back to school in a hybrid and trying to figure out who they pick up and who they don't pick up?
You know, first off, I could never comment on a personnel situation because people when they earn their right to retire, that's their privileged reason as to why they want to do it. So I don't know, but I could not comment either way. I do know it is a very tough job, and Frederick County is the largest landmass county in the state, and we have many more bus routes that are very complicated, so it's not a easy job. So I certainly wish him a happy retirement, and I'm sure we will find a great replacement to take over for him. It's going to be tough in the fall, again, trying to figure out how are we going back full-time, are we going back hybrid, are we not going back. trying to figure out how you would handle the buses. One of the problems, again, going back full time, is if you were totally social compliant, we can only get about 10 kids on an average school bus. And so, again, if we were to do that, there's no way we could get all the kids in the school in a reasonable time, and they would have to run multiple routes back and forth to get the kids there. So that's one of the issues of sending all kids back is, number one, getting them there. But then, number two, once they're there, you wouldn't even be able to keep them socially distant in the classrooms. Even with half classrooms, I would challenge you, Bob, and I know you're Superman, but to go into a kindergartner room or a first grade room and get 10 kids not to stay on top of each other.
Well, that's what I always say that. I mean, you know, you look at kids and the rules don't always apply to everybody. So, you know, that's why I said, hey, kindergartners and elementary school kids who are, you know, don't have the, you know, the wherewithal right away to be able to social distance and to you keep their grimy little fingers off of each other, you know. But yeah, older kids,
grandson that's almost five, and I know if you put five-year-olds in a room, they're going to be on top of each other
right
in their time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, licking each other and you know, spitting on each other and just being kids. That's just what they do. You know, but you would think that maybe a senior, 10th graders, and you know, if you're in high school, you might be, could be a little bit different. Obviously, they're, you know, they, you have to worry about the other social issues, but you know, you just say, hey, look, not now, let's do it another time. And you know, no PDA, just stay away from everybody. So, which would make parents very happy. Brad Young, yeah. President of the Board of Education, appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you, Bob. Hey, one last thing. Anybody that needs food this afternoon will be out with, I believe, me at TJ High School at 3 o'clock. We have a complete food line for anybody that needs food. If you're out of work, the tough times, whatever, no questions, no forms to fill out. We have meats, foods, milk, canned goods, breads. We have everything out there. All you got to do is pull up and walk through the line, and we'll give you food.
Yeah, you've been doing that for all summer long. Appreciate it.
It's our 15th week doing it.
All right. Hey, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Brad Young, President of Board of Education, 853 at WFMD. It's the Morning News Express. Time now for the Hannity update. The Hannity update at 853 at the Morning News Express, 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD. You can also find us online at WFMD.com. That's WFMD.com.